Well, tomorrow is April the 1st. And so, you know, that's April Fool's Day. And I suppose we have all been caught at one time or another in some kind of a April Fool's joke. Probably one of the best ones that was pulled on me was by Debbie. When we moved to Utica, Ohio, and bought a car off of her grandfather, and I went out one day to get in the car to go someplace, and it wasn't there. So, of course, I just assumed that somebody stole it. I came running into the house. I said, we need to call the police department. Somebody stole the car, and I'm getting on the phone and calling, and she says, no, it's not stolen. She had a key that I didn't know about, and so she had the neighbor move the car someplace else and all that, and say, April Fools. And I said, yeah, okay. All right. That was fun for her. And for me, too, I guess. Before we get into the lesson, I wanted to say, you know, last week we talked about the need for some relief for some brethren in Africa. This congregation, in just that one announcement, in that one day, we raised $1,300 to send to Ed Smith, and I thought that was very good, exceptional. From what I understand from Ed, that immediate need has been met, and he's not requesting any more funds at this time, so we're thankful for that. And so I know you'd want to be brought up to date on that. And I'm rejoicing about that, and I'm sure you are too. But in light of April Fool's Day, I thought it might, you'll notice our bulletin article was all about April Fools or about fools, and have some other things to say about it as well. Webster defines a fool as a person with little or no judgment, common sense, wisdom, etc., a silly or stupid person, a simpleton, an idiot, or an imbecile. The Bible doesn't use the word that way. The Bible uses the word fool primarily as a condemnation of character rather than as an insult of one's intelligence. In the Bible, the word fool often describes a person who has rejected the enlightened counsel or instruction of God in favor of pursuing their own whimsical or dangerous path. And the sad thing about that is that many people choose to take that path. That rather than hearing the instruction of God and humbly submitting to it and practicing His will, they choose to trust in what feels right or seems right to them or whatever the group or the majority wants to do, then they just want to go along with it. We need to be careful that we don't find ourselves being a fool. What are some characteristics of a fool? How would you spot a fool as far as what the Bible says? Well, a fool hates knowledge. Proverbs 17, chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 22 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." God instructs us in a way of knowledge. He wants us to know. Fools don't want to know. They just want to trust in what seems right to them. Proverbs 1 and verse 22 says, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." We also see that a fool is one who brings shame, grief, and bitterness to their loved ones. It's expressed in Psalm 10 and verse 1, "By a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother." That's especially true when it comes to spiritual matters. A mother and a father raising their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, when they see that instruction and correction takes root and germinates and grows in their children, and their children develop a reverence for God and a desire to live to the glory of God and keep His commandments, that brings great joy to parents. But one who doesn't listen to parents, doesn't listen to the preacher, doesn't listen to the Bible class teachers, doesn't listen to what they read from their own Bibles, and goes the way of all sinners, brings a great discouragement to both the father and mother. Proverbs 17 and verse 25 says, "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bore him." You know, it's a sad thing for parents to recognize that their children are living a life that is a life of sin and a life of rebellion against God, a life that they're going to have to answer for in eternity. And the fact that, they love brought that child into the world, but they chose not to love the one who created them and gave them life and gives them spiritual life. That's a sad thing. Indeed, it's grief and bitterness when parents consider such. A fool is one who makes light of sin and of evil. Proverbs 14 and verse 9 says, "Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor." And Proverbs 10 and verse 23 says, "To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom." You know, it's the fools who will call good evil and evil good. He will change the definition of things. It is the fool who says that the end justifies the means, that it doesn't matter what I have to do to gain the victory, just so long as I gain the victory. That's the fool. They will practice any evil necessary in order to achieve their own goal. A fool cannot control their temper. Proverbs 29 and verse 11 says, "A fool vents all of his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." You ever know someone to just spout off quickly what they feel about and so forth? That's not the way of a wise man. That's the way of a fool. And very similar to that, a fool cannot control their temper or their tongue. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verses 12 through 14 says, "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. A fool also multiplies his words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? And so a fool begins his conversation with foolishness, and rather than knowing that he'd be better off just to be quiet, he just keeps compounding and adding to it and saying more and more things that just get him deeper and deeper into trouble. Proverbs 17 and verses 27 and 28 says, "He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is a man of calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts up his lips, he is considered perceptive." So, even a fool can act like a wise man just by being quiet. These are some things that characteristics of a fool. They hate knowledge. Knowledge, so many times, and truth, doesn't go along with their agenda. And so they'll speak against it. They can't control their temper when they hear truth, when they hear that they're wrong and they need to make correction. They'll make light of sin and evil. They'll make light of the standard of righteousness is revealed from God's Word. We said the fool will bring shame to their parents, but most importantly, they bring shame to God who created them and to Christ who loved them and died for them. The Bible describes four types of Bible fools. There is the atheist, of course. You can't do a lesson on Bible fools and not bring up this verse, can you? Psalm 14 and verse 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does good." You need to realize that the one who says there is no God, that's just a beginning point. Why would you say such a thing? Well, they're not accountable to God. If there is no God, you're not accountable to God. And so you can do whatever you want to do rather than what God wants you to do. A person has to be taught that there is no God. Have you ever thought about that? I don't think that a person all by themselves, of their own perception, would come to the conclusion there is no God. I think history shows us something different. In fact, every civilization has worshipped something, usually something connected with nature. And I don't believe that's an accident. Psalms 19 and verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork." Along with that, Romans 1 verses 18 through 20 says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest or demonstrated in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Both of these passages, and we can bring up many others, just talk about the fact that God says, look, anyone can look at what I've created and come to a conclusion that there is a creator. Anyone can look at the design in either the totality of creation or in the most minute aspect of creation and be impressed with the fact that somebody designed this to do what it's doing. And then to see that it does it over and over and over and over and over again. That there's no variation from it. Anybody can look at the wonders of nature and the design that we see there and the beauty there and would proclaim there is a God. Now, many people, apart from revelation, have come to a wrong conclusion and have said, well, we couldn't live if it wasn't for the river, and so they make the river their God. Or we couldn't live if it wasn't for the sun, and so they made the sun their God. Or other elements of nature that they perceive to be extremely important for one's survival, they make that their God. And that's wrong, of course. But what it does show us is that what God is saying here, the heavens declare the glory of God, is evident even in the history of mankind. Because somebody came to a conclusion that we couldn't live if it wasn't for God. This didn't just happen. Now, thankfully, we don't have... You know, this is talking about we can perceive that there is a God by looking at everything in His creation. But God didn't leave us just to our perception. He has also given us revelation so that we might know Him. Not just perceive Him, but know Him and know who we are. And we might know His will and practice it. And so, For someone to say there is no God, you have to be taught that. You have to hear that from somebody. And you have to want to believe it so that you're not accountable to God. The atheists are corrupt. They have done abominable works. They don't want to be accountable to God's standard of righteousness, and so they make their own standard of living, and they end up doing that which is corrupt and abominable. Denying the existence of God will not free one from their accountability to God. Only a fool would ignore the evidence and enter judgment unprepared. I can't help but think that even the atheist has to wonder at the wonders of creation, especially this time of year as we find nature waking up again and the beauty that we see there, little animals being born and just the cycle of life renewing itself. I don't know how you can look at all of that and say there is no God. It takes a hard and calloused heart to come to that conclusion. The Bible talks about the self-sufficient are fools. I don't need God. I can take care of myself. And Jesus talked about this in Luke chapter 12 and verses 16 through 21. He spoke a parable to them saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all these things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" You have many goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. What's the rest of that that people have added to it? For tomorrow we shall die. He might have been better off if he would have added that to what he was saying too. Because that very night he was going to die. He had worked hard. It takes hard to bring forth such a crop. You have to get everything just right. It takes hard work, takes the right kind of weather, takes all of those things. But he had made it. He didn't depend on anyone because he failed to realize that he needed to entirely depend upon God. Tonight, your soul will be required of you. His soul had not brought forth plentifully. His soul had not yielded the fruit of the Spirit and the beauty of righteousness. His soul had not taken into account his need for God and his dependence on God. You would think if anybody would have known how much he depended upon God, it would have been this rich man whose ground yielded plentifully. It takes God to bring all of that, such a harvest to about. When you look at all of the things that you're thankful for, look at them and consider them indeed to be blessings from God, and that you are blessed. And recognize also that you are blessed to bless others, to be a blessing to others. Another type of Bible fool is the self-professed wise. Jesus talked about this too. As he closed the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. Is a foolish man. Does not receive instruction. On the other hand, wisdom is found in doing what God says. In the verses prior to that, in verse 24 and following, he says, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Hear these sayings of mine and does them. He who does that is wise. I want to be counted with them. In Proverbs 6 and verses 20 through 23, we're told, "My son, keep your father's command. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Yes, it's the nurture, it's the instruction and the correction of the Word of God. Not only are we instructed in the way of righteousness, we're also corrected from the way of unrighteousness. And if we will heed those words of correction and heed those words of direction, we will be walking in the light and living in the light, anticipating meeting the Lord one day in judgment. Proverbs 7 in the first four verses says, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin." Love God, love His word, love wisdom, the words of wisdom. Keep it always close to you and conform your character to that character of godliness that is revealed to us. The fourth type of Bible fool is the one who is lacking in understanding. Ephesians 5 verses 15 through 17 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, accurately, considerately, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And that goes right back to what Jesus said there at the close of the Sermon on the Mount. "If you hear these sayings of mine and do them, you're a wise man. If you hear these sayings of mine and don't do them, you're foolish. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Hebrews 5 and verses 12 through 14 says, "For the thought of this time, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone teach you again what be the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come need of milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So the Word of God teaches us in the way of righteousness. It instructs us what's right and what's wrong. And we can read what's right and we can read what's wrong. But as this passage is telling us, we have to put His Word to work in our life. We have to use it. We have to trust Him and obey Him. And have this understanding that comes by using God's Word in our life, conforming to His will and doing His will. Four types of Bible fools. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Don't be someone who doesn't want to know what truth is. Don't be someone who doesn't want to look into the Word of God and know the will of God and practice the will of God. Don't be someone who says, "Oh, I'm just going to do what I want to do." That's the way of a fool. Humble yourself before God. Revere Him and keep His commandments. That's the way of a wise man. If you're here today and you find yourself in need of a Savior, the Savior's been provided in Jesus Christ. Turn from your way that lacks in understanding. Acknowledge God's way to be the right way. Turn to Him, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here today and you're a child of God and out of favor with Him, you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters on your behalf, that's one of the reasons we're here. And we'd encourage you to let it be known. We'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.
Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be?